Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC. And so most of these sermons are from me. But 5, 6, 7 years ago, my wife Kelly and I were invited by another couple to join them for lunch at a restaurant in Napa, California. The restaurant is called French Laundry. If you know anything about French Laundry, it is quite a place. It's a Michelin 3-star restaurant, which is fairly unique. There's only 15 of those in the United States. Last year, there was only 13. It's one of those restaurants that it takes months to get a reservation, and we, therefore, at that time, were only able to get in for lunch. It would have taken several more months to get in at dinner. And it cost, I'm somewhat embarrassed to say, what many people spend a month of rent to eat there for lunch. It was not, though, just a meal. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Now, knowing that it was going to be once-in-a-lifetime experience, I showed up prepared. I knew that it was going to be a 7-course meal and it was going to cost a lot, so I came hungry. I didn't have breakfast that morning. I had just a small side salad for dinner the night before, and so by the time the food came, I was hungry. The first of the 7 courses was about the size of a quarter. It was tiny. And I looked at that, and I just popped that thing in my mouth and took about 2 chews, and then down it went. And I said, that was good. What's next? Now, the person that we were with, who was somewhat of a foodie, his eyes got real big. And he kind of leaned in to me, and he said, Russ, this isn't Chili's. You're going to want to slow down. You're going to want to pay attention. And over the next couple of hours, he taught me how to savor the meal, how to really eat a meal like this. He taught me how the chef spent hours preparing this meal. He taught me how to savor each bite, how to notice all of the different flavors and the aromas, how the wine was perfectly paired with the meal. How to savor each bite. That little bite that you just swallowed in one fell swoop, he said, cut that into probably 3-4 pieces and notice how each morsel tastes different on different parts of your tongue. It was an incredible meal. And every single thing, every single part of that was the most remarkable thing I'd ever put in my mouth. And I will never forget that meal as long as I live. And that was an experience. And I started thinking this last week as I prepared for this sermon that in many ways the Lord's Prayer is sort of like that. That we can just sort of wolf it down like we would a Big Mac. Or we can understand what it means. Take time to ponder it, to explore it, to unpack it, to savor each morsel. When we do, it becomes something that connects us with God. It opens our hearts to God in a way that maybe we've never experienced before. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Seems pretty straightforward, I suppose. But I also suppose that depends on where you stand. Now, one of the things that you need to know right off the front is that there is a Greek word in this line that is incredibly interesting. In many ways, it's sort of the hinge point in understanding the entire phrase. The word is epiousion. Let me hear you say epiousion. What is interesting is that this word does not exist until it shows up in Matthew and Luke's gospel in the Lord's Prayer. It's not anywhere else in all of the Bible. In fact, it's nowhere else in all of Greek literature before this. And only a couple other times after this in reference to the Lord's Prayer. And by the third century, the early Christians sort of said, this is not a word that anybody uses. It's translated as daily in the prayer that we just prayed, but it's different than that. We use it as, give us this day our daily bread. It's sort of an adjective that describes the kind of bread that we are looking for, but it's a made-up word. It appears as though the biblical writers who were writing in Greek and remembering that Jesus was speaking in Aramaic says that we don't have a Greek word that captures what Jesus was trying to say, and so they just sort of created one. They made one up. Now, I would argue that that should tell us that there's something more here than first meets the eye. Now, if we break that word down, epi is a preposition. It sort of means on or in or upon or to. It sort of has captures a spatial relationship. And then the second part of the word, ousion, is oftentimes translated as essence or being or substance. It comes from the Greek word, Greek verb, to be. And so if we're to translate it literally, it would mean in being or upon essence. But a better way to say that, scholars say, the linguists would look at this and say that maybe a better way to say this would be that which is needed for us to be. That which is needed for us to be, or that which is essential. When we say this, we're praying for bread that is essential, for bread that is substantial, for necessary for us to be, for us to exist. We're essentially saying, God, give us the bread that we need to survive. Now, what we pray for in that moment, as I suggested earlier, sort of depends on where we stand. If you are poor, the bread that you need to survive is bread, right? Because you're hungry for food. And so you are literally praying, God, please give us the bread that we need to survive. And for a large part of the world, that prayer is literally that. You're probably aware that there are currently about 7.5 billion people in the world. But did you know that a little over a half of the world's population lives on less than $2 a day? And it is estimated that around 1.2 billion people in this world survive on less than 23 cents a day. That lowest 1.2 billion people live in what is defined as extreme poverty. That's the poverty that kills people. They have no access to food. They have no access to clean water, to shelter, to medicine. And it's estimated that around every 10 seconds in the world, someone dies of hunger. By the way, you may know this already, that economists are now saying that for somewhere between $12 and $20 billion that we can provide clean water for everyone and enough food for everyone to eat, even those 1.2 billion people who live on less than 23 cents a day. The problem is not a lack of resources. The problem is a lack of delivering and allowing that to happen. Now, you may look at that and think, wow, $20 billion, that's a lot. Until you realize that that's what Europeans and Americans spend on ice cream every year. You may be thinking, yeah, global poverty is a huge problem, but thank goodness that we don't have problems like that here in the United States. But yet, we still have statistics like this. Did you know that there are 36 million people who live below the poverty line in the United States? Now, 36 million is a big number, so it might be hard for us to grasp. That's greater than the population of California. 10 million more people than live in the state of Texas. It's now estimated that one out of every six children in America, 13 million children, are hungry. There are 4 million families that are hungry to the point where people in the household are skipping meals so that others can eat. So when a large part of the world prays, "Give us this day our daily bread," they are praying that literally. They are saying, "God, please, my children are hungry." Now, lest we think that that doesn't happen here in our backyard, maybe we should think again. You're probably aware that currently around 78% of the students in the Fort Worth ISD are what we refer to as economically disadvantaged, which means that they receive free or reduced lunches every single day. 78%, while the statewide percentage is 58%. Now, it's commonly believed that for a family of four, both adults would need to earn right around $15 an hour in order to earn what we refer to now as a living wage. The median income for rent on a two-bedroom apartment here in Fort Worth is about $1,200, which means that someone making minimum wage would need to work for 115 hours a week just to be able to afford two-bedroom apartment. And that's just the rent. It doesn't include utilities or food. This summer, the Fort Worth ISD students that qualify for those free and reduced lunches, they can receive breakfast and they can receive lunch every Monday through Thursday until June 27th. But what about the other 3 days a week? And what about after June 27th? What about the rest of the summer? You see, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," what is it that we're praying? Now, I'm willing to bet, I'm fairly certain, that many of us in this room this morning know where our next meal is coming from. I do. Most of us are not necessarily worried. We have enough food in our pantry to get us at least through the day, if not the week or the month. And if not, we have money in the bank where you don't have to worry where your next meal is coming from. But notice that we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us this bread that we need to survive. That "us" is very important because it means not just me, but give all of us, give all the children in the world the bread that they need to survive. And then the question becomes, of course, when we pray that, the question becomes is, how does God do that? How does God provide? You know the story of Moses. The Israelites are in the Sinai, and the people were hungry, and God provided them this flaky substance called manna. And every day they would wake up, and there would be enough food there on the ground for them to eat. And they would get their fill, and the next day they would wake up, and the next day, and the next day. But that's not exactly how it works these days, is it? I would be willing to bet that those hungry kids on the free lunch aren't going to wake up tomorrow morning, having prayed that prayer in church this morning, and find that their pantry is suddenly filled. You see, I would argue that God answers prayers like these in the way that God answers most prayers. And that is that God sends people. People like you, people like me. You see, we are instruments that God uses to answer prayers. Every single one of us, every single day, in some way, shape, or form, is an answer to someone's prayer. And so when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," the bread that we need to survive, we are remembering that we are the answer to the very prayer that we utter. There's this great line that Pope Francis says. He says, when you pray for the hungry, you then feed them. That's how prayer works. You pray for the hungry and then you feed them. That is how prayer works. Do you remember in the book of James, there's that famous line, "Faith without works is dead." He's saying, in essence, if you see a brother or sister and they are in need and they are hungry and you just say, "God bless you, be at peace," that you have completely failed to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel calls us to pray for those people, but also then to do something about it. And so when we pray this prayer, we are remembering that there are hungry people and that we are meant to do something about it. There's this great prayer that says, to those who have hunger, give bread. And to those who have bread, give the hunger for justice. That's what we're praying when we pray the Lord's Prayer. Do you remember what God said to Abraham? I will bless you, that you might be a blessing. Now, as I said earlier, I'm willing to bet that most of us are not living at the poverty level. Some may be, but most of us are not. And the gospel reminds us, Jesus is pretty clear, to whom much is given, much more is expected. To those who have hunger, give bread. To those who have bread, give a hunger for justice. In other words, give us this day, all of us, give all of us the bread that we need to survive, the food that is essential to survive. Give us this day food that we need to survive. When we pray that, some are praying literally for bread. And some are praying for other people and becoming in that moment an answer to their prayers. But I would be willing to argue that all of us that have bread, that have enough to eat, that we too are hungry for something that we may not automatically have. That we have enough food, and so this prayer becomes a metaphor for something else. It's not that our stomachs are hungry, it's that our hearts are hungry for something else. I want you to think back for just a minute to your high school psychology class. And you learned there at some point probably Maslow's hierarchy of need. It was a pyramid. It was a chart there that you probably learned. And that basically stated that we all have these basic fundamental needs. And the truth is we can't focus on anything else until those basic needs are met. And at the bottom line of that pyramid is physiological sort of health and safety, health and food and sleep. And then the next level, once you have that basic food and sleep and health, you need shelter and you need clothes. And then once you have enough clothes and you have shelter, the next step is that you have this hunger, this longing, this need for the sense to belong. Maybe it's to be a part of a community of faith, and maybe it's just a need for love and affection. And once you have that, there is higher needs. He defines it as esteem, but really it's a sense of value and worth. You need to know that you have value. And then the final, the top, is what he refers to as self-actualization, which is the longing that we all have to know that our lives have matter. That our lives matter, that we have a purpose. That the world will be different for our having passed through it. That our lives have meaning. Now, I don't have to worry about the stuff on the bottom two layers. I have that. And I'm willing to bet that most of you do too. But it's that stuff on the higher level, that's the bread that I need to survive. To survive, I need to know that my life has meaning and purpose. I need joy and love and grace and mercy, that there's this mission, that there's this calling in my life, that there's something that I'm put here to do. And so when I pray, give us this day our daily bread, I'm praying for the kind of bread that satisfies my hungry heart. Do you remember the text that we heard a minute ago? Jesus had just fed the multitudes, 5,000 people. They were hungry, and he had compassion for them, and he gave them food. And then the religious leaders, as they always do, they come and they try to discredit him, and they ask, what miraculous sign will you do so that we can believe you? Our ancestors had manna in heaven. What are you going to do? You remember what Jesus said? I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. It was St. Augustine who once said, our hearts are restless until they find rest in God. He's saying that we can have everything that we need, but yet none of that matters until we find rest in God. until we find that rest in God. Jesus comes to remind us what it means to be fully, authentically human. He places a call in our lives. He gives us meaning and purpose. And so I would ask you this morning, what is the bread of life that you need right now? What is the daily bread that you need in this moment? Is it the knowledge, is it the comfort of knowing that God is walking with you, that God has a hold of you and will not let you go? Is it the understanding that you are loved as you are, not as you should be? Is your heart hungry for grace and mercy? Are you hungry to know that your life has meaning and purpose, that God has placed a call in your life? Is it hope? Are you hungry for hope to know that the last word belongs to God and that word will always be life? Give us this day our daily bread, we pray. What is the bread of life that you need? What is your heart hungry for? I am the bread of life, Jesus said. Come to me. Never be hungry again. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are or where you come from or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.